So a very warm welcome to our service of Holy Communion this morning. Welcome to everyone who's watching online. I have no notices except a song rehearsal, which isn't really a notice, but I wonder how many know this song, Jesus Take Me As I Am. I'm going to ask Lois, oh gosh, do we need to rehearse? I don't think we do. Well, let's move on then to the only notice that I've got to give out. I believe a certain historic football match is kicking off at the end of this service, and I know some folk are down at the village hall watching it or getting ready to watch it. So if you want to dash off at the end, please feel free to do so. We're continuing our series now on Hebrews 11, looking at heroes of faith. And today we're taking a look at a rather unlikely hero or heroine of faith, and that is Rahab the prostitute, as she's known in Scripture. And we're going to be looking at her today. So as we draw near to the Lord this morning, we welcome the Holy Spirit to come among us and fill us with God's love and truth. Please respond in the words in white. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with your truth. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with your love. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with your peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's celebrate the goodness of God and his faithfulness to us as we stand to sing now. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Please be seated for our time of confession. St. Paul writes, "This is a true saying and worthy of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." So we turn to a time of confession. God our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us for behaving just as we wish without thinking of you. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us for failing you by what we do and think and say. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us for letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world about us. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us for living as if we were ashamed to belong to your Son. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Together we say the Collect of Grace. Almighty and everlasting God, thank you that you have brought us safely to the beginning of this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger. Order us in all our doings, and guide us to do always what is righteous in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's stand to sing. Thank you. be seated for our readings.
Our first reading is from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 30 and 31, and can be found on page 1210. 1210. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed by those who were disobedient. And our second reading is from Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 to 21, and can be found on page 216. Rahab and the spies. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they've come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the 2 men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I do not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan, and as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the 2 kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts sank, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my mother and father, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the man assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. Now she said to them, go to the hills so that the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. The men said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless, when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you brought your father and mother, your brothers and all your family into your house. If anyone goes outside your house into the street, his blood will be on his own head. We will not be responsible. As for anyone who is in the house with you, his blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she replied. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer as we consider these passages. Heavenly Father, be pleased to open your word to our hearts this morning, and our hearts to your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have watched this TV series where certain celebrities delve into their family histories. And sometimes they find they're related to really quite famous people, even royalty. Other times they find they're related to people of rather questionable character. Take Danny Dyer off EastEnders, if you ever watch it. He discovered he was related to Edward III, which of course made him feel rather good. But then he discovered that his 2x great-grandmother, Mary Ann, had a criminal record. Actually, she was indicted for concealing the body of her own baby who died after birth. And when Danny discovered this, he was a bit devastated by that fact that he was related to this Mary Ann. He dug a bit deeper and he found there were extenuating circumstances. And it so turned out that this Mary Ann, although she was indicted, she was not convicted and had no criminal intent. And Danny's great aunt said she had 10 children after that and she became a local midwife. And she had a heart of gold, which made Danny feel a lot better. If you delve into the family tree of our Lord Jesus Christ as it's listed in Matthew, you will discover he had some ancestors who could be described as saints and some who would definitely be described as sinners. And we're looking this morning at one heroine of faith, Rahab the prostitute. How on earth do you preach on Rahab? Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was chatting to Paul Southern, and he noticed on the list of subjects what was there for today, and he misread it and thought it said rehab. He's preaching on rehab. Oh no, it's Rahab. So I said, well, actually, I think I'd prefer to preach on rehab. But we're looking at Rahab. I suppose we think it's difficult maybe because it's hard to think that in the family line of Jesus there might have been someone like Rahab. Now, of course, Rahab may, there may be extenuating circumstances. She may have had to go into the sex trade as a lot of women do today because she was abused by men or forced into slavery. We don't know. But there are many folk who would regard her as an undesirable. Now, if you were a Pharisee at the time of Jesus and you discovered that Rahab was in the family tree of Jesus, you'd be horrified. Not only is she a woman, and women didn't count much in those days, she was a prostitute, she was a Gentile. How can you have a Gentile in the family tree of a Jew like Jesus? And she was a pagan. She'd be definitely an outcast. But the New Testament sees it very differently. You see, the New Testament writers believed that the Lord Jesus Christ, although he was himself sinless, he had come to identify himself with us, with sinners, in order to deal with sin. As it says in Hebrews 2, he was made like us, fully human in every way, in order that he might make atonement for sins. He was one of us. I read a story not long ago about a couple who'd retired to a sleepy little village in Cornwall. And they were finding it quite difficult to be accepted because they'd come from up north. And one day they heard someone from the village saying, they're not really one of us, not born and bred, West Country. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was one of us, born and bred. And he came from a line of very imperfect stock. Very few of his ancestors were squeaky clean. Even King David got up to no good, as we know. And yet they were all counted worthy of being in the ancestry of the Messiah. It just goes to show, doesn't it, that it's all about God's grace to us, not about what we are worth. And as, of course, you delve deeper into Rahab's life, you realize how God's grace changed her when she threw in her lots with the Israelites and the Lord. She gave up her previous life. She married a guy called Salmon, a Jew, and together they had a guy called Boaz, who married Ruth. And Boaz and Ruth were the great-grandparents of King David. So it's all by the grace of God. And for that, she gets this honorable mention in Hebrews. And you'll find her again, another honorable mention in the letter of James. Kenneth Bailey, who wrote this very interesting book, Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes, says this about Rahab. By listing people like Rahab in the family tree of Jesus, the gospel shows us the kinds of people the Messiah came to save. He's the savior of women and men who are both saints and sinners. And that's a big relief, isn't it? Well, of course, Rahab is not alone in the history of God's dealings with human beings as somebody with a questionable past. Take John Newton, for example, the notorious slave trader who later became a Christian and trained for the Anglican ministry. And he wrote that great hymn, Amazing Grace. Well, there's a film of that title. I wonder if you've seen it. It's all about William Wilberforce, who campaigned to end the slave trade. And in the film, he goes to see John Newton, who's an old man by now, and he asks for his support in the abolition of the slave trade. And there's a very moving moment in that film where John Newton says to William Wilberforce, I'm getting old now and I don't remember very much, but one thing I do remember, I am a great sinner and Christ is a great saviour. Look at what the Apostle Paul says about himself. It's a trustworthy saying, it deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. How could St. Paul say that? John Bunyan, the author of that wonderful book, Pilgrim's Progress, he wrote his personal testimony in a little pamphlet and he called it Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. The title alone reminds us, this is God's grace. We are not worthy. To anyone who is troubled by past sins, understand this, Jesus Christ is the friend of sinners. I know people sometimes say we talk too much about sin in the church and nobody really believes in it anymore and it's not relevant to people today. Well, I'm not so sure, you know. I was travelling on a train from Euston, London Euston, up to Birmingham New Street just 2 weeks ago. And when we stopped at Coventry, this young man got on, very smartly dressed, and he sat down opposite me. And we got chatting, and I said to him, what do you do? He said, well, I'm a civil engineer for my full-time job, but I deal in cars. I buy and sell cars, and I'm off to Birmingham to see a new car. So I said to him, well, you keep busy, don't you? And then he said this. He said, yes, it keeps me from falling into sin. I was really taken aback by that because he wasn't in the slightest bit religious, but he knew what sin was. Mind you, when he asked me what I did and I told him I was a retired vicar, he didn't have a clue what a vicar did. All of us are nothing but sinners saved by grace. So let's get back to Rahab. But of course, rehab is what happened to her, didn't it? After she put in her lot with the Lord. And it's her simple faith that really speaks to me. She just believed that the Lord was more powerful, more in authority than all the other pagan gods that she'd probably been following. She put it like this. I know the Lord has given this land to you, and great fear of you has fallen us. The Lord, your God, is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now, you know, that simple declaration of faith still has its ancient power. Do you remember when Mikey Bryant came and talked to us about the work he and Bethany are doing in Liberia, in that mission hospital, saving the lives of those children? Do you remember he spoke about the power of the witch doctors that they still have over families? And he asked us to pray that the name of Jesus would be seen as more powerful, that Jesus is Lord in heaven above and on earth below. I came across something very similar myself not that long ago. I took a wedding of a Christian couple from Nigeria, and they invited the elder of their village, who was a very important man, to come along to the wedding, and he kind of took charge at the reception. And he got up at one point in the reception to propose a toast to the happy couple. And he said, "In the name of Jesus." And I thought, well, good for you, mate. But then he took a bottle of whiskey and poured it out all over the floor. And he said, "This is for the spirits of the ancestors, so that they are not offended by being excluded from our celebration." That sent a shiver down my spine. And I asked this couple afterwards and said to them, "What was that all about?" And they said, "We didn't want him to do it. We don't approve of it. But in our culture, the spirits of the ancestors are on a par with Jesus. And we have to worship both and keep both happy." A simple declaration of faith that Jesus is the Lord in heaven above and on earth. One of the fascinating things about the Rahab story is what they asked her to do, to show her faith in the Lord and in them, that scarlet cord. Well, it's often been pointed out that that scarlet cord has a symbolic significance. Jewish rabbis of the past have said it's a mark of the Passover, the blood daubed on the doorposts of the Israelites when the angel of death passed over. It symbolizes that. Christians, of course, see that scarlet rope as a sign of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. A simple faith in the cross of Jesus as the greatest authority on earth. Simple faith that Jesus has overcome our sinful past. We may even have been Christians when we committed some of the things that we have done. But he says to us, "I am your friend. It's all forgiven. Let me make you like a precious stone now. Come to me as you are, for I have forgiven you through my death." Well, you may say, "I'm not worth much. I'm not worth being made a precious stone. In fact, I have low self-esteem. I feel worthless." Let me finish with a quote by John Stott. "You can never say that you are worthless in God's sight, because you're worth enough for him to send his son to die for you. You can say you are unworthy. We are all unworthy of his grace. But you are not worthless. He will make you into something new." And so we're going to finish with singing this song, "Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. Make me like a precious stone, so that Jesus, you shine through me as you did with Rahab." Thank you. Thank you. we turn now to our intercession.
Let's pray. So, dear Lord, we come to you just as we are, with our failures, our anxieties, our weaknesses, and thank you that you love us despite these things. This morning, we would offer ourselves again to you. Will you take us deeper into yourself? Give us more faith so that we, like Rahab, may show kindness and God's grace to those we meet. Lord, we pray this morning for the Ukraine in the light of the news of the bombings yesterday, when we hear that more lives were lost and more people injured. O God of justice and peace, we pray for this country and other parts of your world where war and unrest continue. We pray for peace and a laying down of weapons. We ask you to bring comfort to all those who live in fear and fear for the future. Draw alongside them and give them your peace. We pray, Lord, for the Christians who are caught up in these situations. Hold them tight, Lord, and protect them. And in a few moments of silence, let's just bring other parts of the world to our loving Heavenly Father. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, we pray for the continuing refugee and migrant crisis that we see in our world today. Those who are fleeing their homes in search of peace and safety. We pray for the many, many aid agencies who are seeking to bring relief and help to the homeless and those without shelter. Lord, may the governments have wisdom as well as compassion as they seek to control the crisis. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And this morning I'd just like us to pray for our children and young people during this season of holidays. And thank you, Lord, for all those who came to Messy Goes Wild and the lovely time that we enjoyed together. We pray for those known to us who have just received their exam results. Lead and guide them concerning their futures. And we pray for peace and calm for those who are awaiting results this coming week. We commit to you the young people from our churches who are travelling to Bridgewater for a CPAS holiday. May they enjoy a fun-filled adventure holiday whilst learning more of you. Let's bring to the Lord in the silence those on our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for ourselves here and those who are known to us in need of your loving and healing touch. Let's bring those people in our hearts to the Lord just now. Lord, we trust in your promises and we seek your divine healing in body, mind and spirit for those that we have named in our hearts. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, guiding us along on our journey of faith. We thank you for the precious promises of healing and restoration we find in your word. Dear Lord, please increase our faith. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
So let's stand now and share the peace together before our communion hymn. We are the body of Christ. By the one Spirit, we've all been baptized into one body. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of peace. Our communion hymn, We Remain Standing, is Just As I Am, O Lamb of God, I Come.
Thank you.
seated. We join together in the words in white. The table of bread and wine is now to be made ready. It is the table of company with Jesus and with all those who love him. It is the table of sharing with the poor of the world, with whom Jesus identified himself. It is the table of communion with the earth in which Christ became incarnate. So come to this table. You who have much faith and you who would like to have more, you who've been to the sacrament often and you who've not been for a long time, you who've tried to follow Jesus and you who've failed, come. It is Christ who invites us to meet him here. Blessed is our brother Jesus who walks with us the road of our world's suffering, who is known to us in the breaking of the bread. On the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread, and having blessed it, he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you." In the same way, he took the wine, and having given thanks, he poured it out and gave the cup to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new relationship with God, sealed with my blood. Take this and share it. I shall drink wine with you next in the coming kingdom of God." Loving God, it is through your goodness that we have this bread and wine to offer, which earth has given and human hands have made. As we recall the one perfect sacrifice for our redemption, Father, by your Holy Spirit, let these gifts of your creation be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Form us into the likeness of Christ and make us a perfect offering in your sight. Together we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Look, the body of Christ is broken for the life of the world. Here is Christ coming to us in bread and wine. The gifts of God for the people of God, come. Together we pray. We thank you for this meal and for welcoming us to your table. We remember that we are your children and that you have called us to share your love with everyone we meet. Help us to receive your life, walk in your strength, and follow your ways every moment of our lives. So we stand to sing our closing hymn, The Splendor of the King. please sit or kneel for our blessing. Now may the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself, the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service, and the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. And as we receive these gifts, we give thanks to God for his love. And these are simply a token of our love and honour of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So now let's go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.